For the past 6 months, a nonprofit group called the Neighborhood Energy Consortium has had the Minneapolis-St. Paul car-sharing market to itself. The nonprofit group has raised about $450,000 to buy 12 cars. Those energy-efficient hybrids have attracted about 140 people to join the Our Car program. That's Our with an H. On this Saturday morning, Mary Solak is shivering at a bus stop, waiting for a ride to go pick up her Our Car. Despite the obvious inconvenience, she says it's worth it.
And you don't have to worry about insurance, you don't have to worry about gas. It's like, okay, I'm paying all of what I'm paying, and I don't have to worry about fixing the blasted car either.
After a short bus ride, Solak does have to worry about more mundane car concerns, such as scraping the ice and snow off the window. To date, Solak's only choice for renting a car by the hour has been Our Car. That's about to change. The nation's largest car-sharing company, Zipcar of Boston, is invading Our Car's Minneapolis turf. Nearly 50,000 people now take turns driving about 500 Zipcars, mostly in Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C. Scott Griffith is the CEO of Zipcar.
Over the last several years, we really focused on those cities and getting them past profitability, past the break-even point, to prove that at the metro market level that we can make money in this business.
That track record enticed a venture capital firm to invest $10 million in Zipcar. Another big new company is also getting an influx of cash. The nation's second largest car sharing company, FlexCar of Seattle, is about half as big as Zipcar. It too has a new investor, AOL founder Stephen Case. He rented a FlexCar, liked it, and bought the company. In Chicago, FlexCar is paired with a local nonprofit to put 47 cars on the street. Zipcar, meanwhile, is also trying to get into Chicago. It wants government agencies in the Windy City to commit to using its cars before entering the market. The company hopes that happens sometime this year. Business professor Alfred Marcus at the University of Minnesota says it's not unusual for emerging businesses to seek government help like this.
To get this sector going, to stimulate it, it makes sense for there to be some kind of public involvement, but you would hope that this could take off on its own. I think this is just transitional, that these public-private partnerships, and that's very typical in when industries start.
In Minneapolis-St. Paul, the University of Minnesota is guaranteeing Zipcar a $1,500 per month per vehicle subsidy. But once Zipcar meets the $1,500 minimum, that subsidy goes away. Zipcar says it expects to do just that in 3 months. At the moment, Zipcar is growing fast. It had revenues of about $15 million in 2005. CEO Griffith says it expects to double that this year. But Alfred Marcus with the University of Minnesota says over the long term, Zipcar faces big hurdles. Zipcar's only had success in large, densely populated cities. Its target market are young people without cars who are highly price sensitive. And then there's the question of where to keep the cars. They have to be conveniently located to the people who might want to use them. Marcus says that if these startup companies continue to grow, someday they might be gobbled up by bigger companies.
The ultimate aim of flex cars or zip cars may be to build up a fringe business, get it going, and have a rental car company buy them, or have even a conventional automobile company buy them.
But the car-sharing company owners say they have other plans. Zipcar CEO Scott Griffith says he's working on a 10-year plan to make Zipcar an international company. Flex car owner Stephen Case says he bought that firm to build it and not to flip it. For the GLRC, I'm Todd Melby.